BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Thank you very much for joining us, everyone. Today we are going to be talking with the NES about their research grant. So I'm joined today by Charlene Murphy, who's going to talk to us about this. Charlene, could you just briefly introduce yourself, maybe what you do for the NES and what the NES is, just briefly as well?
Sure. So I'm the research engagement lead at the National Eczema Society, or NES. And I've been in the role since July 2024. So my role involves really developing the NES's first research grant round, which we just finished back in May, as well as looking at any associated activities related to research, such as collaborating, helping support recruitment for different research activities related to eczema, and working with our research partners and colleagues.
So how did this idea come about to do a research grant, and what exactly is a research grant for people that might not know?
Yeah, that's a really good idea. That's a really good question. Yeah, so NES has wanted to get involved with research and fund our own research for quite some time. So hence my role development. So the trustees and our chief exec have been interested in doing this for a while. And we really wanted to do this to fund our own research questions and our own research grant call to really focus on eczema care and treatment, and really have a patient-focused sort of research grant call. In terms of what a research grant is, it's really a dedicated sum of money that's awarded to a specific research project, and it enables those researchers to carry out that defined piece of work. And it's sort of it's developed to really allow them to carry out this scientific research that they might not be able to fund or do otherwise. So it's really important that sort of smaller research, medical research grant charities like ourselves fund these pieces of work, because it really fills in gaps in our knowledge.
So did the kind of members of NES, or did the public kind of give ideas, or did the researchers themselves come to you and say, hey, look, we've got this really good idea, we'd love to have a part of your grant? How did that kind of come about?
Yeah, so we put out our grant call in December of last year, and we asked researchers to submit proposals. But within that, we asked them to think about what patients wanted in terms of eczema care and eczema treatment and solutions to the eczema. So we really wanted the research grant to be patient-centric and patient-focused. And one of the aspects we did to ensure that it was, that we had some of our, what we call our expert by experience group, or exec group, which is sort of our patient panel at NES, look at the lay summary. So each research grant application had to include a sort of lay summary, sort of a no sort of technical jargon in this summary, to sort of tell us what they were going to do. And we got our exec group, the ones that volunteered, to look at these applications and rank them and review them and tell us which ones they thought should be funded, to really reflect the community's, you know, what they saw as the most important issues, and that reflected the important issues in these research grants. So I guess to sort of answer your question, we did let the researchers propose topics, and one of the themes that we put out in the open call was topical steroid withdrawal syndrome, so TSW. But other than that, we really left it open to the researchers to submit the proposals, but with the caveat that we always wanted our exec group and our patient community to be involved with the helping us select which research grant to fund.
So what research exactly received these grants once the exec group kind of managed to rank them? And maybe once you came to that decision, what research actually received the grants?
Yeah, so once we had our applications in, we got our grant advisory panel. So I should say we had a number of senior clinicians and healthcare professionals and our patient representative go through and rank and score them and have a discussion of who should be funded, as well as incorporating our exec group's feedback. So we had both sort of healthcare professionals, clinical dermatologists, and our patient representative, along with the feedback we got from our exec group, to decide which grants to fund. We had a number of excellent applications, but unfortunately limited funds, as most charities have. So we were lucky enough to fund two PhD studentships. So we're really pleased. This is the first year we've done any kind of grants. So we were able to award one that's been dedicated to our founder of National Eczema Society, called the Christine Orton Memorial Award. And that went to the University of Nottingham. So it's a project called Talk TSW, and that's being led by Dr. Paul Layton, Dr. Laura Howell, and Dr. Lydia Tutt. And it's really a PhD studentship. So it's going to be funded for 3 years that studies the communication between patients and healthcare professionals about TSW, or topical steroid withdrawal. And the team aims to develop a consultation tool to improve discussions on TSW between healthcare professionals and patients. So that was great that, you know, we put out a call and one of the mm-hmm. themes was TSW, and we got this awarded. And we were able to fund a second PhD studentship, which was great. And that's at the University of Manchester. And it's entitled Evaluating the Effects of Sunlight and Other Environmental Exposures in Atopic Dermatitis. And that's with Dr. Kirsty Ritter and Dr. Zenas Yu. And it investigates how sunlight and environmental factors affects eczema symptoms. And we're quite excited because they're also looking at wearable UV sensors and data tools. And they're going to evaluate how to really help patients support self-management with these tools. So it's really interesting. And I think it's a great PhD topic because there's so many aspects that of sort of training and new skills that the student can get into. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's going to be advertised soon. So hopefully, if any of your listeners are interested in carrying out a PhD studentship at Manchester, that will be advertised soon. Or get in touch with Dr. Kirsty Ritter or Zenas Yu if you're interested. Just a bit of a plug for us. And then we were able to fund two other smaller grants that we called pump priming grants. And those are really to allow researchers to sort of develop a smaller piece of research. So it's over 12 months instead of 3. And it's a smaller pot of money, but it allows them to develop some data or, a sort of a pilot project to get to the stage where they can apply for a larger fund or a larger grant, or perhaps get into sort of clinical trials to let them develop this idea before they can apply for a bigger funding. And that's kind of where we see our role as a charity funding, a grant funder, is where we're able to sort of help researchers develop these ideas. So the first one went to Professor Karsten Flohr at King's College London, and they're looking at the lived experience of women with atopic dermatitis and using natural language processing. So it's really interesting that they're getting into that. And it's really looking at the challenges faced by women with eczema, especially during pregnancy. And it's really used to aim to improve support and care resources. So again, this is an area that our community wanted to see funded. So in terms of filling in the gaps with women's experiences with eczema, especially during pregnancy. So that was great that we're able to fund that. And then the last grant we're funding is also a pump priming grant called Scratching the Surface. And its title is Investigating the Scale and Molecular Mechanisms of TSW. And that's with Dr. Alice Burley and Professor Sarah Brown at the University of Edinburgh. And they're conducting the UK's first structured study on TSW. So we're really pleased to support this. So this is a really evidence-based study on TSW. So they're combining survey data with 500 individuals with clinical and molecular analysis to better understand and diagnose TSW. So again, just another plug, they're looking for 500 individuals. So if, people are interested, please get in touch with either NES or Professor Sarah Brown about taking part in this study, because they are looking for participants. So we're very excited about all these topics. It's sort of two on TSW, which is fantastic, and two on other areas. So we're really excited and pleased with the range of our research grant portfolio.
And I think exactly as you say, these topics, especially, you know, the experience of women, that's something that has been historically under-researched. And I think really important as well that it reflects what your community is wanting out of the research. If somebody was looking to maybe as this PhD student or maybe a person interested in research, what kind of tips might you give that person if they were maybe thinking, oh, I might apply next year for these grants? What tip might you give them?
Sure. Yeah, I think the top tip is to start early. I think we've already announced on our website that we're going to be opening the call in November again this year. So we're hoping this will be an annual research grant round. And so if people are interested to start thinking now, I know it's just August, but, you know, if you can start, you know, talking to your colleagues, talking to patients, you know, if you can tap into patient group resources, your other healthcare colleagues, just to really start thinking, putting it together. Looking at our website, so I would suggest looking at our research strategy. So all the grants that we funded really aligned with our research grant strategy. So helping people manage and with self-care, with their eczema, you know, looking at issues that are really pressing on the community, like TSW, are things that we want to fund. So I would say, you know, look at the research that's already been funded. So the awarded grants, and also look at the research strategy and sort of aims of the charity, and really start early. That would be my top tips.
And for these projects, how do we find out more about this? Is NES going to maybe publish updates? Is it going to be maybe the results in a journal? How do we find out more about the projects?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we're going to put these all the projects on our website. We're going to have those up so you can follow them for more. They have links to all the researchers' pages, so you can follow the researchers as well. We're hoping to put updates on our website when they come around, and we're encouraging all our awardees to sort of engage with us, you know, publish in open access journals. So hopefully we'll have those. We're also trying to allow them to give talks with us. So we've already had Dr. Alice Burley give a talk to our patient, our exec group, which is fantastic. But we're also hoping that, you know, once their results are in, we can help disseminate those as well. So particularly with the PhD studentships, we're hoping we can, you know, just work with a PhD student. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to improve their communication skills as well. You know, talking to different audiences, communicating with patients, different stakeholders. So we really want to facilitate those training opportunities with the student as well. So we're really looking to sort of disseminate on our social media channels as well, as far, you know, as far wide as we can.
And I think, again, you know, in this day and age, it's really important, because I think a lot of people use social media. Mm-hmm. They use online methods, Facebook, WhatsApp, all these kind of things. So especially if somebody wasn't used to that, it's nice to have that support of, okay, we've got NES to maybe help us make sure that this message is coming across in a way that people can understand, that's relatable, that's easy to digest. Because I think as soon as you say research to a lot of people, they're going to be like, oh, that's going to be really bamboozling and I'm not going to understand that. So I think that's very helpful.
Yeah,
you've mentioned how people might be able to help the research projects. Mm-hmm. How can people or our members help research projects, both the ones that you're funding and maybe just in general?
Yeah, so we love for people to get involved with us. So we have our exec group, and also we have our Take Part in Research webpage. So there's not only the studies I mentioned that we're funding now, but we also promote and help with recruitment on a number of studies that are related or focused on eczema. So there's a couple of online surveys that are still active. There's a couple of registries that are going on if people are taking systemic eczema treatment. There's a couple of ongoing studies that they can take part in. And I think it's just a great way that people can sort of help kind of take control of their their situation and their eczema and really get involved, maybe meet other people, you know, learn new things. We got a lot of really good feedback from our exec group that they really enjoyed sort of learning about what's happening in research and they wanted to hear more. So I think this is really a space we want to develop a bit more. And, you know, as you said, you know, we don't want the research just to end up in sort of scientific journals. We really want it to be disseminated and accessible across multiple audiences.
So you've mentioned about the research grants. You've mentioned how they can be, how the researchers manage to get the funding for the grants. And you mentioned about the kind of projects. Yeah. Where can people find this information? You've mentioned this is on your website. Is there other places people can access information about these projects at all?
Yeah, so we do have an e-newsletter that people can sign up to. So we often put opportunities and updates on our research. So it'd be great if people can sign up. That's also on our website. And then we have multiple social media platforms. So we're on Instagram, TikTok, X. So if people want to follow us there, that's great as well.
And is there any kind of roundup messages towards the end of this podcast? I always try and say, is there kind of three things that you would want to end the podcast with? What would maybe be your kind of three things that you would want to leave as finishing messages?
I just hope that, you know, this research grant round really gives people with eczema hope, that we are sort of, we are active in looking for questions and sort of solutions for self-care management and treatment strategies for eczema. I'd like to encourage everyone to take part in research if they can. There's multiple ways that people can get involved and active. So just please reach out and just, you know, follow us for more details, because I think it's going to be a really exciting space when we get these results coming in. And I think people are going to be really engaged and surprised what's going to come out of it.
Yeah, I think it'll be really exciting to see, especially because, as you've said, a lot of these research projects and these PhD studentships are looking at these areas that are under-researched or doesn't have a lot of knowledge about, or that patients themselves, you know, frequently in clinic might be asking questions or might be worried about. So I think it'll be really interesting once the results are published and gathered, what that might say, and that might help nurses or other clinicians in their own clinics being like, well, we now have some research about this, so we can actually give evidence-based data to that patient. So that'll be really interesting to see in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a real pleasure to talk to you. Can you just say, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you or get in touch with NES, how do they do that? Do they just do that via the website? Do they email you guys? Is there a certain way to get in touch?
Yeah, so they can get in touch at research@eczema.org. So that goes directly to my inbox, or they can reach out at info@eczema.org, or just check out our website and follow us, or, you know, add comments to our social media platforms. We're happy to get in touch in multiple ways. But yeah, probably the best way is my research@eczema.org.
Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Molly. Take care.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.